Send your word and heal our disease. Touch us in our bodies. Touch us in our minds. Touch us in our hearts. In every situation, God, you are bigger. You are bigger. You are mightier. You're greater. You're mighty to save today, Lord. And we give you praise. Come on, let's give him praise. Come on, let's give him honor and glory. We glorify your name. We magnify your name. Nobody else. Nobody else. Nothing else would do for us, God. We have to have your presence. We have to have your presence, Lord. I love you today, God. You are truly our healer. How many believe he's the healer? If you're discouraged this morning, you need to know that faith can arise in an atmosphere like this through the Word of God, through prayer, through the fellowship of God's people. We can gather together and be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, worship team. Thank you, Chrissy. Come on, let's give the Lord praise, would you? Let's honor the Lord this morning. We're so grateful. We're so grateful that you are here. We're most grateful that He is here. I'm glad the Lord shows up to Oak Grove each week. I have a personal opinion. I don't think He ever leaves. You know, we were in Sunday school talking about the names of our God, and we got to the last part of the class, and we said there's one we didn't mention on the board was Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. And the word is in particular talking about the fact that for the Jews and for the Israelites, they always said he's Jehovah Shammah. He is right there in the heart of our city. He's right there in the temple. And he was there, and he will be there. Amen? Because it'll be the new Jerusalem. Amen? And boy, what beautiful singing. What beautiful singing. I can just imagine Sister Daisy Hansen busting through and the wedding bells ringing and she arrived her new heavenly home. And man, what exciting times there. And I told my Sunday school class, Daisy was one of our greeters. She greeted with Miss June and Mickey over here in the office entrance. And so I said, as soon as she got into the heavenly gates, she looked at St. Peter and said, "Get out of the way. This is my job." I mean, you can be a greeter in the house of the Lord. And every time somebody walked in the door, they saw her beautiful smile. And I appreciate so much the ushers, the greeters, the worshipers, the leaders, the teachers, everyone, even in the up in the balcony there, the sound people, the media people. There's a lot of things that go on at Oak Grove that that enhance this service that we often don't see or even appreciate. And so I thank you so much for all of them. Go ahead and give God praise for all of them. Hallelujah. Thank you so, so much. I know that we started a series last week about hearing the voice of God. It's called The Voice. Which voice will you turn from or for? I'm sorry. It's a takeoff of that voice, the little TV game, not a game show, it's kind of a talent show where young people and people from around the world and around the nation go on The Voice, and you vote, and then they get to hear who has the most beautiful voice. Can I tell you, it's the Lord's voice that's the most beautiful voice. And of all the voices we need to hear today, how many know we need to turn our chair? So all four of the different judges on the panel turn their chair. When they hear the voice that they like, they hit the button and they turn the chair. If you get one of the artists to turn the chair, you're doing good. If you get all four of the artists and the panel judges to turn their chair, you're doing great. And you'll probably be a millionaire because you'll make your first album and may win The Voice. That's what it's all about. But we're talking about in our series is this. When you hear the voice of one called Jesus, and you need to be sensitive enough to hit that button of faith and turn your life, turn your ears to hear the what only voice that really matters in your life. And there's a lot of them. And we pray a lot and we invest a lot in young people today. And there is a whole generation seeking the voice of God. They're wanting to know what God is going to do in their life. There may be some in the middle of their life saying, "God, now I'm going into retirement. What do you want me to do now?" So wherever you are, whatever phase of life you're in, we need to hear the voice of God. See, Pastor, why is it so hard? Why is hearing the voice of God so hard? Well, but I believe there are some things that weigh us down and slow our hearts down or make us dull of hearing. And sometimes it's referring to the way our lives are fragmented by so many things pulling us in different directions. You know, I have to be honest with you. It was hard-pressed this week to kick away from all the duties of Oak Grove to find some time with Jesus. I'm just going to be straight up with you. You have to absolutely lock yourself away and shut yourself down, because we in the ministry at Oak Grove, we say sometimes God brings divine interruptions. How many's ever had a divine interruption? So you're going through your routine of your daily life and you have calm to chaos in just about a flat second. And so I believe God is sovereign even through the chaos. That's what I believe. And if you don't learn how to get a rhythm of life, if you don't learn how to discipline yourself to get away from the chaos of this world and sit and listen to the voice of God, to train your ears to know His voice, then there's a lot of confusion and chaos out there. And so you have to fight against all of that interruptions, all of the fragmentation, all the people and the things and the pulling. And listen, these are good things. These are your children. These are your church. These are your people. These are your friends. This is your work. These are things that must be in your life, right? These are things that must be in your life. You can't eradicate. Say, Lord, I'm just going to listen to you. I don't care about the rest of the world. Things have to keep going. So you have to learn how to discipline yourself to juggle enough to spend time with God. And Jesus was the master at it. Amen? And then I put the word drunkenness. I'm going to get into this in a minute, read Samuel. But drunkenness, of course, can be understood as literally including the many ways we self-medicate. We self-medicate. What are your coping skills? How do you cope? How do you deal with a hurry sickness? How do you deal with rushes and interruptions in life? How do you cope? Let me tell you how some people cope. They turn the bottle upside down and become alcoholics. Some people get into drugs and try to fight the chaos, for lack of a better word. To try to find sanity in the midst of all of that and drown out the sorrows that distract ourselves. And then anxieties. I got another one. Anxieties simply refers to the many ways we get caught up in the cares of this world rather than resting and experiencing the deep peace that only comes from communion with God. So this series is not a series on prayer, but the overarching thing is learning how to find a disciplined daily place of quieting yourself, quieting your soul to hear from God. Some people are more apt to do it than others. It just depends on your personality. If you're a doer, you have to work harder at pulling yourself away. If you're a contemplator and you contemplate a lot, you can sit before Jesus for hours and it won't bother you. But whether you're a contemplator, a thinker, or a doer, you've got to train your ears to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen? He that hath an ear, let him hear. And not just hear, but let them discern and understand. And you say, Pastor, there's too much chaos in my life. And so let's look at the scriptures, 1 Samuel 3, how we can get to hear the voice of God in the midst of this. The boy Samuel ministered to the Lord. Can somebody say ministered? If you want to really get close to God, you got to get close enough to minister to the Lord. Now, in the 21st century church in America, it's all about the Lord ministering to us. It's about me, 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 me. Lord, for me. Do this for me. Do this for me. As if the Lord's running around trying to meet everybody's needs. Can I tell you, He can speak a word and you can be healed. So God can and will and does minister. How many had the Lord minister to you? But what if we reverse this thing and listening to the voice of God actually ministers to the Lord? What if the Lord wanted to hear from us? It's just a rhetorical question. He's ministering to the Lord before Eli. That means little Samuel's a little boy, and he's ministering in the temple before the Lord and before the high priest Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Let me just tell you that that's a sad state of affairs for the church. It was sad for Israel, and it's sad for American church today. Can I tell you, you can duplicate that, and I think that word can be relevant and prophetic for us this morning. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. That's important. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place. So there's a difference differentiating between no word of the Lord, it was rare, and at this time, how many know God can send revival whenever he wants to? You could be a very much an instrument of the voice of God, the word of the Lord coming to the people of your generation if you will stop and listen to Jesus. So from that time, there was rare. This time, they're in this place, lying down, when his eyes had begun to grow dim, Eli's, actually. So both of them were lying down, but Eli's eyes had begun to grow dim so that he could not see. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down. So in this verse, I want you to see this. Samuel's lying down. Eli the high priest is lying down. Where are they? They're in the temple of God, probably close to the holy place, not the Holy of Holies, but the holy place where the little boy is learning from the high priest. Can I tell you? That shows me that some mentoring is taking place in the house of the Lord. Isn't that something? If we're going to raise up a generation of people who know how to hear the voice of God, we need some high priest who will train them. And as Samuel was ministering unto the Lord right here, look at that. He was there where the Lord's presence was. And now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. So at other times he had called, but this time you see the Lord standing there. This is the theophany. This is the presence of God in the Old Testament. This is a manifestation of God's presence in the Old Testament. Stood there by Samuel. Now see that now. I want you to see that because Samuel. Now you've heard this happen in the Bible. He said at the burning bush, Moses. You know, I think when it comes to Ron, he would say, Ron. Kind of like, you know, Simon on the Theodore, Simon and Alvin. You know who it was that he had to say it several times? Alvin. Okay. How many of you are like Alvin the chipmunk who are like daydreaming or dull of hearing or so preoccupied? Theodore heard it. Simon heard it. But Alvin, we're going to keep going. Ron. Caleb. Moses. See, anytime God has to say your name twice, he's wanting you to. How many of you mothers know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like in our culture, my mom said, Ronnie Jean, when she said my whole name, including my proper name and my middle name, I took off because I knew what was coming after that. So watch this. And Samuel answered, look at that. Speak, my Lord, your servant hears. We can stop right there, but there's more to talk about. Verse 11. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel. Oh, listen, God wants to speak to you because he wants to do something through you. He said, hey, Samuel, I'm about to do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hear it will tingle. Is that a euphemism? Not a euphemism. What's that word that you use in today's terminology? It's kind of an idiom where they say, you know, hey, it'll make chills go down your spine. This is what God is saying to Samuel. Say, hey, when the Israel hears this, everyone who hears this, it's going to be like their ears are going to tingle. God is saying, everybody who hears what I'm about to do is going to blow their mind. Now, I don't know if you think God wants to talk to you or if God is interested in talking to you. But this is an example in the Word of God speaking to a young boy. Now, scholars believe that Samuel must have been about 12 years old, max. 12 years old, because he's in the temple, and he's working in the temple. So in a Jewish culture, the bar mitzvah happened at about 12, 13. So this is at the Jewish boys' level. This is at spiritual maturity. Now Samuel is now he is now mature enough to work for God, to minister for God, to be doing for God. He's reached a place in his spiritual maturity where he's ready to hear and do what God is calling him to do. So in that day, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. Now, I was going to get into some bad news here, but for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows. He knows what I'm about to do. Can I tell you? Here's a lesson. You don't have to go judging anybody. How many know the Lord will judge who he needs to judge? He knows who's doing right. He knows who's not doing right. You don't have to point the finger. God has got it all figured out. So, but you might be called upon to tell him about it, okay? Because his sons made themselves vile. Now, they were ministering. Have you ever heard of vile ministers? This is what was going on. Thinking they're doing something for God, they're nauseating the God they think they're serving. This is what's going on. For doing vile, making themselves vile. And he did not restrain them. In other words, the sons were offering strange fires on the on the altar, but the father did not discipline the children. Can I tell you, if that's not America today? Children are running wild in the streets, fatherless, or even if they have a man in the house, they don't have a father. And so they're running rampant, and they're not being restrained or disciplined. So verse 14, and therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall be not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. What? No matter what? So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was opening. Can I tell you, young ministers, male or female, if you get the privilege of coming into church early, open up the doors, you are privileged indeed. Look at this. You want to minister to the Lord? It's not about standing in the pulpit and preaching. It's about getting there early and serving. First one there, last one to leave. You want to talk about ministry? Ministry is serving. It's not all this public stuff. This is the word of the Lord going for people and so that we can grow a congregation. But a lot of ministry happens between Sundays. And you're coming out of Bible school today, they think it's all about preaching. Can I tell you, there's a whole lot more to this thing than just preaching. I heard one student told me they're planting a church now in Philadelphia, but they were interns at our church. And I believe it was Drew, who was interim at the Young Adults, Drew and Alexa. And Drew said, Pastor, I learned at CBC that you should study 30 hours for one sermon. I said, well, I would study then 120 hours every week. Before I went to the hospital, before I did any counseling, before I had a staff meeting. How many know that's insanity? And so they're having a preconceived idea in Bible school that you study 30 hours for one sermon. Max, 30 hours. That means you got an hour for every minute you preach. Give me a break. I just want to stop right there and preach, but I got too much to say. God help us. And he said, what is the word? What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Eli is asking Samuel. Now watch this reverse mentoring. Eli, the high priest, is asking Samuel, the boy. I believe God can speak through children. I believe God can speak through young people. I believe there's a high calling for you listening to the voice of God and obeying and speaking what thus saith the Lord. It's rare in our day, just as it was rare in their day. And God, I love the way God uses whoever he wants to. I love it that in 1901... in Topeka, Kansas. They had seven students at Topeka Bible College. One lady named Agnes Osman had seven students gathering to learn about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And all seven of them, come on now, Agnes was the first one to speak in tongues in 1901. The first one, a lady. Now, you men who don't think God can use women, that ought to just put you in your place. When God started the biggest Pentecostal revival since, well, it was Azusa Street. It was Azusa Street revival. Started in Topeka, Kansas, with seven people quieting themselves, studying the scripture. The Holy Ghost blew in. And from that, we have the Assemblies of God today, 100 years later, who has 2,000 missionaries that go over 200 countries of the world. How many know a revival happened? Because one little lady thought she'd hear from God. It can happen. We have to know that God's speaking. So please do not hide it from me. God do so to you, and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that God said to you. There is an inquisitive spirit right there. And Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Eli recognized, this is the Lord. You know, it's one thing to hear a word from God. It's another thing to recognize and discern that it is the Lord. So when it comes to hearing the voice of God, you not only got to train your ears to hear, you got to discern in the spirit what is the Lord and what is not the Lord. There's the tricky part. Let him do what seems good to him. This is Eli, what he's saying. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, that basically means from the top of Israel down to the very bottom of Israel, there was not a spot in Israel that did not have be affected. They knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. That's the scriptures. We might be here a while, but here we go. In order to hear and discern the voice of God, first of all, you got to be close enough to hear. Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the temple. If you think you're going to be able to hear the voice of God and either one, never have a personal devotion, or two, never be in the house of the Lord, or three, never attend a prayer meeting. It's hard to hear the voice of God if you don't stop long enough to get close enough. You know, I'm 52, about to be 53, and I don't know what caused my hearing to be slipping a little bit. But the older I get, the harder it is to hear. And so you might be saying amen real loud. I just can't hear you. But it is not fun if you have had any hearing loss. Phil, you know what it's like to go through life fighting to hear. He's got the best of hearing equipment. And then those that are hearing impaired, they have to learn a whole nother language. Is anybody listening to me today? The hearing impaired have to hear a whole nother language. Actually, by seeing, their seeing has to be stronger than their hearing, because whatever's dull needs to be advanced some other way. Unless the Lord do a miracle and heal. How many know the Lord can heal deaf ears? I said the Lord can open up blinded eyes. But in this life we live, sometimes things deteriorate. But you can get close enough to God. Even if you can't hear him audibly. Now, I'm telling you, rarely does somebody hear the voice of God audibly. And I know half of you here heard the voice of God audibly, and you'd like to tell the whole church about it. But we don't have time for that. But it rarely in our day has somebody heard God speak audibly. Rarely. But many times in our day, we've had spirit-filled people who slowed themselves down long enough to experience the power and presence of God, and a still small voice, or a discerning in the spirit, or a movement of some sort, or a directing, or a guiding, or a leading, or something, and they knew it was God because they got close enough to him to hear it. So God called and came close to him, stood by him. You know, I've had occasions where I felt that the Lord was so real. So real, so close to me that I could almost touch him. Couldn't see him. And that was the case for Samuel here. There was no vision here. Samuel did not see God, right? He only heard him. Had he seen God, he'd have run to the high priest Eli and said, I have seen God. But that hasn't happened because God is a spirit and no man can see God and live. So he heard the voice of God. How is that like? I mean, have you been living for the Lord so long that that's foreign to you? Because it is a real, real truth, God speaks. Can I get an amen? God still speaking. So if God's still speaking, why aren't we hearing? And if we are hearing even then, why are we having such a hard time to try to ascertain what is God saying? Because it's one thing to hear it. What is he saying? What does he mean? Where do I go? What do I do? We have to hear his heart. And for that, you've got to get close enough. Samuel. And he was close enough to hear. He didn't understand the who, but he heard the voice. And he went to his mentor. Can I just stop to say? It ought to be in every church in America that God is having senior saints train the junior saints. I don't think you caught me. I remember when I first got saved, I thought the whole thing was just so overwhelming to me. Being born and raised Roman Catholic, we have nobody talking English, much less tongues. You could hear a pin drop in the sanctuary. And so the only thing you heard was the bells. Pring, you know, it's about all you heard. No music, you know. And God bless the people who like to worship like that. Maybe they are quiet enough. Maybe they can hear more than we can. But here's the deal. God is speaking. And as a boy, Samuel heard. He heard. Do you understand that? And so I remember praying and wanting to hear and pray like Sister Jet. That is Terry Jet's mother, Mama Jet, died on Valentine's Day. What a romance. She was such a sweet, sweet lady. She had that bun in her hair, about 150 pins. Y'all know who I'm talking about? A holy woman of God. And when we called her Mama Jet. We call it because she was the mama of the church, Mama Jet. When Mama Jet prayed, things happened. Things happened. And I wanted to pray like Mama Jet prayed. So I'd sneak over to that side of the church and Mama Jet. And she was very Pentecostal and very demonstrative. I mean, she'd pray. One day, Mama Jet went out under the power, standing about right in the middle, and hit her head on that wooden pew just like that. And I mean, gunk, like a watermelon busted open. And got up a couple of seconds later dancing around the altar. I tell you what, if it wasn't supernatural, she should be dead. It was a big thunk. Boom. And so I want you to know that Mama Jet knows how to pray and hear from God. Raised 4 boys, and all of them are in the ministry. She knew. It was told about John Wesley's mother, Susanna Wesley. How many? 20 kids? I mean, that's insanity. Who would even do that unless God speaks? I only had 2. I can't imagine. But Josephus says this. In Jewish tradition, Samuel had just completed the 12th year, right? And he attained his maturity, and he was reminded of, like, it reminds me of when Jesus visited the temple, and he was 12 years old, and had discussion of the scriptures with the teachers at 12 years old. They so invest in that generation. Listen to me, Oak Grove, because this is the heart of your pastor. We need to invest in another generation. And if you seasoned saints, if you veterans know how to hear the voice of God, I'm happy for you. But our job's not over until the next generation knows how to hear the voice of God. We must train the next generation how to get quiet enough, stay long enough in these altars, to pray through and hear, and they would not be running around asking everybody. You can't get your future vision from the banker. I don't care if they give you all the money. It may not be what God has for you. Or the educator. Or the pastor. You got to get your future direction from the Holy Ghost. How many know he cares about you more than anybody else in your life? And if you're not listening to the voice of your family, if you're not listening to the voice of your pastor, if you're not listening to the voice of your people around you who care, it's a good chance you're certainly not listening to God. I believe God uses people to speak. I said there's a multitude of wisdom in a multitude of counsel. So it's important that you catch this because you got to be close enough here. You also have to learn how to discern enough through confirmations to make certain that you're on the right track. It's one thing to hear it, be close enough to sensitive enough to the Spirit to hear it. It's another thing that we should be hearing the word of the Lord. Now watch this, Amos 8:11. We're given no miraculous signs, and no prophets are left, and none known how long this will last. Amos 8:11 said, that was 74th chapter of Psalm, but Amos 8:11 says this is what I wanted you to get. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. So we're in a famine, I really believe. That was a prophetic word for them in Israel, but I believe it's also a prophetic word for us today. We're living in a day where churches are not concentrating on creating an environment conducive for the next generation to hear the voice of the Spirit. In fact, nowadays, any commotion in the Spirit is considered out of date and out of touch with church of the 21st century. If you speak in tongues, if you have manifestations of the Spirit, if you have the gifts of the Spirit operating, they relegate that to a room in the back where you don't interfere with the new seekers. Can I tell you? It's the Holy Ghost that draws the new seeker. It's the Spirit of God that is given to us, and tongues is for the unbeliever. And yet we're embarrassed or ashamed or afraid to let God's presence come into the house of the Lord. Eli was ministering to the Lord very close. And he had, that was Samuel. And he had Eli to help confirm and lead him. Go lay down. I think the Lord is speaking to you. Rick, where would we be if we didn't have mentors and leaders to guide us and direct us and to help us to learn how to listen to the voice of the Spirit? It shows a contrast here that between the darkening of Eli's eyes and the light of the lamp of God. Now, you can't put all your trust in your mentor. Can somebody say amen to that? You can't put all your trust in your mentor because Eli's eyes are getting dim. Now, he's getting older and he's not perfect. His eyes are getting dim. But the light of the Lord and the place of God and the presence of God is greater. And it's about to go out. It's an all-night deal. They left the light of God, the candle of God burning in the holy place all night long. And the fire never went out. May the Holy Ghost so engulf us, Max, at Oak Grove Assembly that the Holy Spirit will help illuminate this generation and the next generation. I don't know about you, but I'm glad Oak Grove Assembly of God for 70 years has remained a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled congregation. One that is flowing and allowing the Spirit to speak and flow. There's been lots of words come to this congregation. I said there's been a lot of words come to this congregation. One that has remained true to this day is that God is going to use this place as a lighthouse to this community. That fires of revival and streams of water, deep, deep-rooted people are going to have an experience with God because the word of the Lord has come. It's not because I have come here. It can happen after I leave here. But it's because of God's people who heard the word of the Lord. So in a broader context, we can't piece together a string of events to cast light on this. In Eli's day, prophetic revelations in the form of visions and words were rare. And a circumstance can be linked to divine displeasure. Let me just spend a little minute on that. Did you know that there was such a thing as divine displeasure? That God can be displeased with what's going on in the church of the 21st century. Oak Grove, as your pastor, my heart is that God would be pleased with our leadership, with you and your lifestyle. Because listen, one person in the house can affect the whole house. A little leaven can leaven the whole lump. One bad apple can spoil the whole bunch, girl. That's Michael Jackson, if you want to quote. One bad apple. That's why in America today we're living in a guilt-free culture, Max, where pastors can't correct and rebuke because somebody's going to get offended and leave. Can't preach the truth against sin because they're going to leave and cause some problems. Listen. You come and you go as you lead, you feel led. I'm going to preach the word of the Lord. You're going to have to get on the bus or get off the bus. You're going to have to figure it out yourself because we're here to preach the word of the Lord. We're here to teach and train people how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ so that you don't have to be cuddled and coddled, so that pastor can't give you direction. If pastor gives you direction, you might end up in the wrong place because I'm human and frail. But if you hear the voice of God, how many know the voice of God in the midst of darkness and chaos? It depends on how close you are. And even if you know it's God, I would get some confirmation. I would run it by spiritual leaders. I would run it by spiritual parents. I wouldn't ask the town drunk if this is God or not. So, verse 9 through 12, on that day, declares the Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will darken the earth in broad daylight. Verse 10, Amos 8, I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentations. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. Help us, Lord. Starting to get personal here, Justin. I will make it like the morning for an only son and the end of it like a bitter day. Here it is. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. I'm going to send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread or a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. Not sure where the Lord called Samuel from. I know he stood with him there. I believe it was in the holy place. But the answer was immediate. Here I am, Lord. Speak. Your servant is listening. Willing obedience, I think that's the third thought. We must be compliant enough to take action. That's my last thought, so you can get excited. We're almost done. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to be compliant enough to hear and to follow and to obey and to take action. God spoke to Moses to lead the people out. Moses, who could not speak, lead my people. Go before Pharaoh and tell him. Now, I don't guess you understand what's going on. God's saying, I want you to go and stand before the president of the United States of America and tell him this is what we're going to do. Okay? and he's a Hebrew. Now, Pharaoh thinks he's an Israelite. Have you ever been between two places? Because you didn't know who you were? A Hebrew living in an Egyptian palace. So I'm trained like an Egyptian, but I'm born a Hebrew. I'm living in the culture and the environment of an Egyptian, getting all the education of an Egyptian, but I was born a Hebrew. I was born God's son, but I was raised Pharaoh's boy or grandson. Caught between the middle of two cultures, God's and the world's. And back and forth he goes. Back and forth he goes. You can see the struggle of Moses. And one day God speaks to him when he got alone. I just want to submit to you today. God might put you on the backside of the desert for a little while. If you don't train your own voice, God knows how to quiet you. I said, how many know God knows how to get you quiet? And he will talk to you. I don't know about you, but God should speak if somebody's willing to listen. I don't know. The Hebrew word used here is ebed. It's a noun which is translated both servant and slave. The slave is one who submits his personal will to the will of his master. So the condition is reached when one can sincerely say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, your kingdom be done, your will be done, right? And so no longer me, but you. Never confuse those who are busy in ministry as a sure sign of their faith. I've seen a lot of preachers who succeed publicly and are failing privately. They look like they're doing all that needs to be done for the kingdom, but they can't hear the voice of God. And I want you to know that is a bad place to be. Let God confirm. Let God get close enough and let God confirm to you what he's trying to say. And then when he says it, say like Samuel, your servant hears. Shama. The Hebrew word means, hears means to listen or to obey. It's the same meaning. To hear is to obey. So he that hath an ear, let him hear. So when the Spirit says that in Revelation, right? He that has an ear, let him hear. It's he that hears the voice of God, let him obey. Let him obey. Chrissy's coming back. I'm certain last week, this week, next week, God's certain to speak to somebody. I want to assure you. Melissa tells me all the time, God speaks. He's just waiting for somebody to listen. All the time. He's just waiting for somebody to listen. And so last week as we tarried around the altar and got quiet before the Lord, has God spoken to you? Has God spoken to you in times past? I've heard of missionaries who said when they were at camp, God spoke to them. In youth group, God spoke to a child, a young person, and they felt the call of God. If he can do it for Samuel, how many thinks he can do it in here? So God doesn't just tell you one time. How many parents in here have to tell your children over and over? You know, we've been 14 years here, coming up in May. May 1st, when we celebrate 70, Melissa and I and our family celebrate 14 years. And we've said this: connect, grow, serve, go. What did we say? We said it so many times, you're probably nauseated with it. So I just have a question. Are we connecting? Are we growing? Are we serving? Are we going? How well are we doing? Because it's in the words that you hear are only appropriate if you do them. That's what his point is. Hear, O Israel. That means obey the one true God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Obey. Do what I tell you to do. And I got to close. There's too many illustrations, too many stories in the scriptures. But one of my favorite is Jesus' first miracle was at Cana of Galilee. And Mary asked, said that we need to change the water into wine. And Jesus said, my time has not come. She said, I'm your mother. You do what I say. And so the Lord consented. You never tell mama no, right? You never tell mama no. And so the Lord consented. And Mary said to the servants, whatever this man tells you to do, do it. That's about it right there. Fill those water pots. So you fill the water pots. You understand? Hearing the voice of God is progressive. So you fill the water pots. Say, Lord, you can have a debate with God. If you're a debater, if you got a lot of words to tell God, you can. He'll let you. But you know, if you're a debater, you're probably saying, like, God, it's wine we need, Lord. It's wine we need. Why do you want us to fill the pots with water when it's wine we need? Don't you know anything? How many's ever looked to heaven and said, God, do you not understand? Only a couple of us. But nobody's voting because it's true. Do you not understand? And if you're going to try to find the will of God for your life, you can't question everything God is saying to you. He said, fill the water pot. Just fill the water. Just put water in the water pot. That's it. He'll tell you after that what to do. Okay? Go find the lads. Go find some lunch. That boy's got some lunch over there. Give me that lunch over there. Andrew, give me that lunch. Lord, how are you going to feed 15,000 people? 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Lord, come on. Philip's like, we don't have no money to feed all these people. Just trust me. Do what I tell you to do now, and I'll tell you the rest later. Do this, and then do this, and then do this. It's really for our own benefit. Could you stand with me today? God has spoken to Oak Grove throughout the 70 years. He spoke to Sister Gypsy Johnson and her husband, Brother Johnson, pastoring the Church of Glad Tidings to start a church. 1946. Sister Johnson and Brother Johnson obeyed. Say, Pastor, how do you know that was the will of God? Well, look to your neighbor. Look to the right, to the left. This is the will of God. You are the will of God. Say, how do you know a prophet? When the word comes to pass. She planted the seed by faith. Here you are 70 years later. You're an answer to the first prayer. To the first, actually not prayer. It was the first leading of the Holy Spirit. God wanted a church in Springfield, Missouri. Can you just lift your hands and help me celebrate the fact that God, you were the intent of God's heart. Oak Grove, you were the intent of God's heart. The reason you're here is because God wanted you to be here. And I happen to believe that God has a purpose, not only for Oak Grove corporately, but for you individually. So we're going to worship the Lord. You stay right where you are. Now I want you to listen to these instructions. Stay right where you are. But if God speaks to you, nudges you to move to this altar, He may want to talk to you. If He doesn't, we'll pray together and you can go home. But if God speaks to you to come to this altar, and that's all He says, just do it. Let's worship the Lord together.
God, I look to you.